Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Group 1 racing in Melbourne and Sydney yesterday, so plenty to talk about in this hour with Dean. And Brendan, good morning to you, Dean Lester.
Good morning, Warren.
How'd you enjoy yesterday?
Oh, it was a terrific day of racing in both states, wasn't it? Really competitive Group 1 affairs, and yeah, I loved the shorts. It wasn't the Group 1 contest. It was a great race, and just seeing the grit and determination of Very Elegant just shows what we love about this sport, that she found a way to win. She wasn't going to win at the 300-metre mark, but somehow she won. So, it's everything you want to see in a racehorse, and it was a terrific day.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? And Brendan Delaney, how did you enjoy yesterday?
Super days racing, really entertaining, and sit back and analysing it all. I think racing would be better if we had another 30 Riadinis, maybe good gallop and just really set up a really good race. If we could get a few more Riadinis and Rachel Kings that are brave enough to go out at that speed, I think racing would be even better than it is at the moment.
He drops in weight going to the Epsom 2, Riadini. Plenty of talk about that yesterday. He made the George Maynard a truly run event. The Group 1 at Caulfield was the Sir Rupert Clark. Daniel Moore was aboard Sierra Sue.
Buffalo River by a half length. The groundswell getting closer. Azar peels three wide. Bo Rossa sits and waits. And then Dice Roll getting going. Behemoth about four off the lead from Probabil. Then Irish Flame regards Marie. I'm Thunderstruck. Still third last. Groundswell Buffalo River with now Bo Rossa, Azar and Dice Roll all queuing up. Probabil Behemoth behind those horses across the track. Azar, Bo Rossa and Dice Roll at the 150. Sierra Sue running on. Dice Roll in front. Sierra Sue's coming at Dice Roll. Sierra Sue beat Dice Roll and I'm Thunderstruck late for third. They were followed by Azar and Probabil.
Short margin, Matty Hill nailed it there. Gee, Dean, Aussie Kerr, John O'Neill and Bray Sikorsky are involved in some decent horses at the moment, all involved in the ownership of Sierra Sue. They're in a great run of it.
Yeah, they certainly are, Warren. They identified the right horses and Sierra Sue, what a job she's done from the Queensland campaign to, labouring in a mile handicap at Flemington in mid-July and then backing up and winning a Mildura Cup and 2 months later winning a Group 1. It's quite incredible. And for Daniel Moore, a great day. I thought that Dice Roll, I thought tactically it's as good a losing ride as you'd see by Fred Kersley. He had all the main rivals exactly where he wanted them inside them. Then he used the lightweight, got away from Behemoth, Probabil, Bo Rossa, and just couldn't hang on in the last couple of strides. But I thought, as a tactical ride, you wouldn't see a better ride, and you couldn't miss on Thunderstruck's run. He just got that bump on straightening, and it just thwarted his momentum and his rhythm for about six or seven strides, and probably enough to throw him off winning the race.
Craig Williams copped a suspension, Brendan, in this race aboard Behemoth for causing interference at about the 250-metre mark. A total of 10 meetings, but he's going to start that suspension after next Saturday's meeting. So it frees him up for the ride on Zaki in the Underwood. How did you see this race, Brendan?
It certainly does. Sometimes you see them look and then pull. When if you're watching the replay, Craig's looking and going, or he might have even went before he looked at the same time. And regards, Marie was the one that caught the brunt of it there, who was doing a pretty good job in following the stablemate Dice Roll up until that point. But great reward for Daniel Moore. We've been speaking of these fringe jockeys that are going to get an opportunity over the Spring Carnival that can ride light. And two of them really put their hands up yesterday in Fred Kersley and Daniel Moore to say that they more than have the ability to match it with the big boys when the lightweight rides are around in these feature races. Sierra Sue must have been something in the Murray River water when she got a hose down maybe after the Mildura Cup that really sparked her up, or the 7 hours that she had on the float to contemplate life, or 14 hours there and back. She's really come back a different horse, stiff to be beaten in the Fian, stiff to be beaten this preparation. Dice Roll, super job, super ride. I'm Thunderstruck. It was a real question mark. Day punters were with him. He was really smash late on the VOP to start favourite in the end. And if he doesn't get turned sideways at the top of the straight, he probably wins a race. And you would have been forgiving of him for throwing the toys out the cot after he copped that whack and not finishing off as well as he did. Azar, that was a much better performance from him. Probabil held her ground okay. Behemoth 59 with those horses with the 52 didn't really help him, and then some horses back in the field. I thought Irish Flame did a tremendous job fighting out of his weight division in a race like this over 1400 Romance, and never got a look in at any stage. And I mentioned Regards Marie was doing a good job following the stablemate into Bohemoth, came out and knocked, stopped his race at about the 300-metre mark. So all honours to the winner, but some really good runs all around it.
Interview at racing.com aired late yesterday, Dino, with Mick Price. He outlined in direct terms, as Mick does, that he thought I'm Thunderstruck without that interference would have won. 3 weeks into the Toorak, 3 weeks into the Golden Eagle from that. If you're having a look at the Toorak in 3 weeks' time, how would you assess I'm Thunderstruck's performance leading into that?
Well, you'd have to think pretty strongly if Probabil and the likes go there and the weight scale stays the same. He may go up half a kilo, but he was so far out of the handicaps yesterday, he could get penalised a lot of points and still be close to the minimum. So 1,600 metres, 3 weeks ideal. And, he just that little break, he seems to have come back enormous at trial at Caulfield, and then yesterday's run, he's really gone to another level.
Thoughts looking ahead to the Toorak, Brendan?
Well, I'm glad I had something on him before yesterday. So it's a nice position to be in after yesterday, because there was the question mark there yesterday. We knew he had the ability. He showed us he'd come back well in that jump out that Dee mentioned, where he really powered up the hill, laid on there to take some ground off some fast horses. And it was just whether or not he was going to be able to measure up. And with these lightweights, he is. And he showed that he could probably, you know, step up and race level turns with some of these bigger horses and take them on. He's got a really bright future ahead, and particularly in the next 6 weeks.
It's a good day for Daniel Moore on his birthday. That was his first Group 1 victory. The day got off to a good start aboard Dirty Thoughts for the Alert and Zara camp.
As they really clutter up before the turn, Casio second last and Barcelona at the end. Hella Ferretti, the Gouch, makes a line of three. A length and a half, Sapphire Crown, Dirty Thoughts getting off the fence too. Then Pride of Jenny and Cristani is the widest. The Gouch takes the lead from Dirty Thoughts as they approach the 200 metres, and they pair off from Pride of Jenny and Ferretti. Dirty Thoughts up to the Gouch, stride for stride at the 100. Dirty Thoughts and the Gouch, then Just Folk. The Gouch fights from Dirty Thoughts. They go towards the line. Dirty Thoughts digs in and one from the Gouch and Just Folk. Photo fourth, Pride of Jenny and Chris Starney.
How'd you see this race, Brendan? The kickoff Caulfield yesterday.
Early part of the day, Haller and Ferretti tried to do their best Eduardo Nature Strip impersonation through the early part of the race. They really ripped through that second 200-metre split of the race and probably brought each other undone in doing so. And all the while, Dirty Thoughts had cover behind them, something which she's probably been waiting for this time in, where she hasn't been working exposed, and really paid dividends for her yesterday. She was able to get out and overpower the Gouch, who was good late. He settled outside. She ended up outside him, but nonetheless, they had a good battle to the line, and she was just able to get her nose in front. Had a little weight advantage over the Gouch, who I thought was really good, much better than when he was first up, maybe not having that trial going in first up. Just him ducking in might have been him saying that he needed it. He was back there yesterday. Just Folk, I thought, did a really good job. Got into a little bit of a tricky spot when the speed just slack and fractionally coming to the turn. There was a little bit of a shuffle up, and he maybe didn't get around the bend all that well, but once he got balanced up, he was good through the line. Cristani covered a stack of ground, I thought, did a nice job as well, and the rest were just fair in behind. But all honours to Dirty Thoughts. Nice win this preparation. Her only really bad run really was in Adelaide on that wet track, and the Gouch is going well, and Just Folk's ready to win a race.
Dean, the market was against Hella particularly late. She's pulled up with lameness in the left hind and a degree of EIPH. So she'd certainly find her way into Gator's forgive file, but the market didn't want to be with her first up yesterday either, Dean.
No, she divided opinions. I thought she had a great winning chance, and I was very surprised with the aggression she was ridden, because as Brendan said, they just went too hard here. They went out at such a frantic speed that they weren't going to be able to maintain it. Looking at daily sectional times, they were about 3.5 lengths above standard for the first 400 metres. So that's just burning, and it took its toll on her and Ferretti. It was that sweet spot sort of race. Dirty Thoughts, the Gouch, got that sort of run, and the one that didn't get the run was Cristani. He just never got in the right spot, and I thought he ran well. Pride of Jenny did a bit wrong mid-race. Maybe she hadn't trialled going into it. Maybe she'll just benefit a lot from that run, and I think she's better when she can dictate a race, so maybe up to 1,400 metres would suit her better also.
Good start to the day for Daniel Moore. Ellerton Zara Camp on fire at the moment. I think four at Geelong on Friday, rolling into to Caulfield yesterday. A stable in form. Great to see Linda Mitch back riding, and she was at her front running best on He's a Bolter in race two.
They run for the money at the 350. It's He's a Bolter by a length. Wisdom of Water, who is now called upon down the outside. Prezzardo and also Pandemic starting to wind up from a theory. He's a Bolter at the 150. Looks to have stolen this. Two lengths in front of Pandemic into second, but He's a Bolter too strong. Scored by a length and a half. Pandemic, a theory, Ocean Beyond, sliding through the line.
We got used to seeing that a lot, Linda Meach, before she had a break from riding, Dino riding the speed and assessing the race very quickly. How did she do that yesterday?
Perfectly, Warren. She basically went similar speed that she did last start, where she started midfield and blended into the race, but no one took it up really. So she was just there, just doing her own thing and went the same speed, rated her horse to perfection, and he did a good job. It was a bit of a sprint home. Pandemics ran quite well. A theory was okay. Ocean Beyond didn't have any luck. Ran very well, and considering he's so far out of the handicaps in that race, there's room for him to move. And then there's probably those that are at the crossroads behind that. You'd want to see Prezzardo back to 1,000 down the straight before we condemn him. But all honours with He's a Bolter. And what a bit of a... He's just been a bit of a revelation. He's been a bit like... last year when we saw Octane go through the grades from nowhere in Adelaide to end up winning in Melbourne, and sort of He's a Bolter has done much the same.
Nothing in the stewards' report from William Thomas. They had a look at him post-race and couldn't find anything from a veterinary examination. How did you rationalise his performance, Dean?
What I would say about William Thomas is that he began moderately, and he can be a horse that can over-race, but he relaxed straight away. He had no chance from back in the field. He's run the same last 600 exactly as the winner, but the separation was already there. So it was an okay gallop, but he had no chance after about 200 metres.
Your take on race two, Brendan?
Yeah, that's something I noticed what Dean touched on with William Thomas when I went back and had a look at the replay. Previously, had he got in a race like that, he would have been really revving out the back and wanting to get on with things, but he had no headgear on there yesterday. He worn the earmuffs and the like before, and he was just sort of floating along like he wanted a bit further, which is something you probably wouldn't have expected from him. But I'm sure Lindsay Smith will go back to the drawing board with William Thomas, but He's a Bolter, just got control of the race, had no pressure really from Wisdom of Water, and Prezzardo was happy to plant near three deep, and He's a Bolter. Linda Meach could just do as she pleased, and she was able to quicken when she wanted to. Two Godolphin horses have done well. Pandemic closed off nicely. A theory was a pass. Mark Ocean Beyond gets a crack at them. How close does he get? But there's definitely going to be a race for him. As Dean touched on, Prezzardo back down the straight. Wisdom of Water really disappointing. Maybe that run at Moonee Valley, that little bit of interference where he had to wait, flattered him a little bit, because that was really disappointing from him yesterday.
Yeah, he features in the stewards report as Wisdom of Water, and he's not the finished product yet, is he, Dean? I reckon he was fractious again behind the barriers. Change of tactics was declared. It was the intention to be positive, and he raced outside the leader, but Jai McNeil could offer no explanation for what appeared to be a poor performance, going at a relatively modest tempo, and stewards are going to follow up with the stable. So you'd have to say, yeah, Dean, it was a bit of a head-scratcher from Wisdom of Water. Maybe, as Brendan said, he was flattered last start.
Yeah, I think he was, and I didn't want to back him back into form yesterday. I don't really trust him at this stage. He's got talent, but as you said, he's not the rounded package.
We get to the preludes for the Caulfield and Thousand Guineas. First was the fillies, Jason Maskeel teaming up with Kevin Corson's in the Ken King colours.
Extra Gear straightens for home at the 300, headed off by Scorched Earth at this stage. Extra Gear looked to have a little bit of a kick, but now Scorched Earth puts a length in front of Heresy the outside, then Extra Gear, Bonza Perla, Scorched Earth at the 150. Heresy moves up, Heresy takes the lead, Bonza Perla's the threat. Heresy curling up, Bonza Perla dives and got it. Bonza Perla beat Heresy, Elusive Express late for third, then Scorched Earth.
Some valuable Group 2 black type on offer there for the fillies. How did you see the win of Bonza Perla, Brendan?
Solid effort. The advantage of having been to 1,400 metres was well and truly in her favour yesterday, and also Elusive Express, who was the eye-catcher, went over 1,300 at Bendigo the run prior, but that probably played out more like a 1,415, nearly 1,600 metre race with the deteriorating conditions of the track there yesterday. So two fillies that have run really well have had exposure over the further ground. Extra Gear led them up with Scorched Earth. They didn't go overly hard early, and then reaped it up towards the turn and back end of 1,400, saw them out. Heresy did a really good job. She was three deep. She was chasing from a fair way out. She got there, but as soon as she got to the lead, the petrol gauge was just about on the bottom line. Bonza Perla had that exposure, hit the line really, really strongly. Further up in distance, isn't going to bother her. The question yesterday for mine was whether she had the class, and she certainly got the ability to run the trip over further. Elusive Express, good. Scorched Earth had a comfortable run in the breeze, but as soon as she got to the lead, she was in trouble, and the rest behind were just fair, you'd have to say. But winner was good. Brave effort, second horse, and the third horse, the eye catcher.
Devout Hero, slow to begin again, Dean. Damien Lane could offer no explanation for the performance. What did you make of the fillies division here at the Prelude?
Yeah, it was a good win last start by Bonza Perla, and it was 1,400 metres, and she was strong through the line, and that sort of really helped her yesterday late in the race. This is quite an incredible dynasty, Warren, on this day. I always think of you on this day with Perno winning on the Rupert Clark Stakes Day, but Bonhoeffer won the 2007 Rupert Clark Stakes and then ran second in 2008. His son, Bon Oram, won the Guinness Prelude in about 2013, then won the Rupert Clark the following year. And now Bonza Perla comes out and wins a Phillies Prelude. So it's been quite a dynasty and quite a day for Ken King. I think he'd wish every day was like Rupert Clark Stakes Day.
We should have had this discussion yesterday morning, Dean, about the colours. And there are some in racing that think, regardless of whether he's paying for advertising or not, that the Ken King Thoroughbreds jingle should just be played because it's such a good jingle, Dean.
Yeah, it is. I'd like to get it on my iPhone, really.
Come on, Ken, dig in. We want to play that Ken King Thoroughbreds jingle. So we're lining this up, heading towards a 1,000 guineas, and the makeup of that field, Dean, might be a little bit unknown at this stage, but how do you assess it heading towards that?
Yeah, it's hard to know because, as we've said all season, these fillies, there's a real chance that a filly like Bonza Perla could just jump out of the ground, a bit like, Odium came through a maiden to win the guineas last year, and I don't know if Heresy's going to run the mile. I think Bonza Perla was really good. Because the Guineas is back to that midweek meeting, they'll probably go to the Edward Manifold, some of these fillies now. So we will get another look at them, and then we'll see the Sydney fillies in the flight stakes, and then we get to marry up the form. So I'm not saying that she's out of the race because I think she'll run the trip okay. I think for the Edward Manifold, I like the effort of the third filly in that race, Elusive Express. She's got a stayer's pedigree and she's got that ability to close off. I've liked all of her runs, and again yesterday she caught my eye.
Think you'd probably say that the performances of Zuzarella at this stage to date, Brendan, would be perhaps a benchmark for these fillies to have to elevate to?
Yeah, most definitely, and who knows what's going to emerge in the next couple of weeks, maybe out of a maiden somewhere, and really put their hand up and be a part of the top rung of horses heading towards this race. But at the moment, of those horses, what we've seen yesterday, you'd think Zuzarella, from what we've seen of her, has been a fair bit more impressive than the ones that went through the Guinness Prelude yesterday.
I'm on the same page as Dean there with Elusive Express. She's the eye-catcher out of that. We've been reminded of some performances in the past at Caulfield, Linda Meach leading the Ken King Thoroughbred colours, and Luke Nolan and Peter Moody combined it in the Galts and Geldings division of the Guinness Prelude.
400 metres to go. It's Military Expert joined by Lightsaber, who throws down the gauntlet. Alpine Edge is trying to get off the fence, and then came Brigantine down the middle of the track, and behind them Athelric. Lightsaber, Military Expert sprint up at the 200 metres, followed by Brigantine. Alpine Edge can't get a run. Lightsaber just in front of Military Expert and Brigantine. Lightsaber holds on. Lightsaber's won it. Photo second, Brigantine or Military Expert, and Alpine Edge never...
Third up at 1,400 metres, Dean, after a couple at 1,200. What do you make of his win yesterday?
Yeah, look, he got the job done yesterday, Warren. It was it's a hard race to assess because they went at just an even speed early. They really slowed down mid-race, and then they didn't come home very quickly. But I think he'll be better in a higher pressure race like Sabre. I've always thought that of him. And so job done yesterday, but can really elevate at his next start, which you'll need to do because when the likes of Animo and Co. come down, they're going to provide maybe irresistible opposition. Brigantine ran well. I think the Godolphin team would have a good handle on where Brigantine, Animo and Co. Thelric fit into the picture. Military Expert, I would like to have seen him roll a little bit more mid-race. And this is, as I said, they went steady early and then they actually backed off. And I think that was to his detriment. He ran okay. And Alpine Edge began so well, I thought he was going to lead. But there was obviously a strong thought that they didn't want to lead with him. And hence he took a sit. And then he got that cover, but then he couldn't get, real momentum when he needed it.
So highlighting the decisions jockeys have to make, Craig Williams in the stewards report regarding Alpine Edge, Dean, he was advised to ride the horse with cover if there was genuine speed. So he rode the horse with cover, but then he can't control what happens to the speed after he finds that cover.
Yeah, once you get third the fence, then you're dictated to. So he was dictated to a slow speed. So didn't get any luck at all. And, there was a good push around yesterday for Timson off that amazing win at Casterton, but that was the totally different dynamic. Fast run race at Casterton, zipped home, looked great yesterday. Still broke 12 seconds his last 200 metres. Didn't look as good, but the structure of the race was totally against him. I think put him in a solidly run race, Timson's a pretty nice horse.
Thoughts here, Brendan?
Yeah, Lightsaber back up to 1,400 metres. That's where we'd seen the best of him earlier on in his career, winning at Sandown, beating Daily Bugle, and then winning the Sires at Flemington back in March. He really raced well up on the speed there. Similar circumstances yesterday. Brigantine did a good job. Damien Lane had to come out and try and be close enough because they hadn't gone that fast through those middle stages, so he didn't want to be leaving himself with too much to do. He's done a good job. A Military Expert was good. Alpine Edge, did he have the dash to go through if the gaps were there? We'll never know. Athelric was okay. River Plate, Timson, both horses were eye catchers off fast speeds last time out and didn't get that speed to suit yesterday. But you'd think Lightsaber up on the speed on Guineas Day would take. He can give them a bit of cheek, you would think.
How are you assessing this, Dino? Reference Animo and perhaps others through a Golden Rose and then heading down here. How do you line up the two form lines?
I would be, Animo is certainly the top seed for me, and clearly so, because I think he'll relish the mile. But Lightsaber is a good sort of style of Caulfield horse to make his own luck. If he's going to win a Guineas, it'd be in the manner of like a Star Spangled Banner where he controlled the speed and zipped away if he was, good enough to do that. And I still think there's that bit of improvement to come, and hence yesterday it was probably not that impressive on times and etc, but I think there's still a bit more to come.
Your thoughts there, Brendan?
Yeah, he can play a part in a Guineas, you would think, up there on the speed, but you would think that the Godolphin operation, as Dean touched on, they've got a good handle on Brigantine and Athelric, where they are in their preparations compared to Animo, and you'd be thinking that James Cummings would be pretty content with the favourite at the moment.
0416 90 50 52. If you've got a thought on racing around Australia yesterday, if you'd like to get involved, thanks to Terry from Thomastown. Bring back the Ken King Thoroughbreds jingle. I love it. Thanks for your contribution, Terry. Hopefully we can try and dig that out of the archives. We hit to the Pinch of Poo Plate over 1,000 metres. General Bo was dropping back to that trip for the Inform Alot and Zara camp.
Coming around the turn at the 400 metres. Fake Love with Direct getting up on its inside. See You in Spring about a length and a quarter away. Ran Veer presents to the middle from Island Edition Sliders. And General Bo's going to be the widest. It's Fake Love and Direct at the 250. Ran Veer opens up. Island Edition back to the fence. And General Bo runs on at the 100. Ran Veer up to Direct. General Bo's dropping on them. General Bo takes the lead back to 1,001. General Bo by a length. Second Ran Veer from Direct. They were followed by...
How'd you see this race, Brendan?
Three times to 1,000 now, and he's won two of them. He was not great out of the barriers, probably wasn't helped by Fake Love and See You in Spring coming across him as soon as he was that fraction slow, but seems as though Damian Lane was happy to play that game and sit out the back and let him storm home. He was really good from off the speed there yesterday. Ranveer probably carted the winner up into the race. He was a good effort, but General Bow maybe just a little bit better than him. Direct had a nice run, close to the speed, got the run through nearer the inside and was solid. Well, Forbes, I suppose you have to give him a pass mark. He got in the gates and he got out of them. So that's a handy enough day out for him, looking for another race to be competitive in. Island Edition probably didn't have the best of luck mid-race. There was a See You in Spring dropped in front of it, and then it really got the head up in the air and lost a length or so from a reasonable enough position. So maybe a little forgive there, but he's pretty effective at 1,000 metres, General Bow, and who knows, it might be something we see a little bit more of. He's pretty versatile on speed, off speed, but we might be seeing him ridden back a bit more regularly than we have done so far.
Your take on this race, Dean?
Yeah, well, it was a terrific win. It was the 1,000-metre race, obviously, Warren, but our best 800, 600, 400, second best last 200 of the day, rounded them up. It was a terrific win. Might have learnt more about him, but, yeah, at 1,000 and maybe 1,100 ridden off the speed, yeah, I think he'd run he'd run well in a Caulfield Sprinter or a Scalacci with no weight, but he's going very well. Ranveer, solid return, direct, rock-hard fit with racing and experience and ran well. And, you know, I thought Forbes got a pass because, as Brendan said, that shuffle-up that affected Island Edition, and Island Edition still very raw, a bit unfinished and didn't overreacted, it then concertinaed back to Forbes. So he didn't get a flow on straight away, and I thought he ran quite well, Forbes. He's obviously got a big rap on him from that Animo run. Probably just needs to win a race and then build his profile. But General Bow was a pretty comprehensive winner, really.
From the stewards' report with Forbes, slow to begin and hampered passing the 600 metre in that incident that you highlighted, Dean. So, you know, perhaps some excuses there. And Fake Love over-raced in the early stages and was disappointing from the stewards' report. But a post-race veterinary examinations revealed the filly to be suffering from a throat condition. So, Dean, she needs a veterinary certificate and a clearance before racing again, and probably that would explain that the below par performance from Fake Love.
Yeah, you think so, Warren, and she'd had a fair time off the scene, so just a day at the races often helps, and now and maybe identifying an issue that she's got.
An anchor for many multis was Anna Visto with Johnny Allen aboard following that good run behind the subsequent Let's Elope winner in Turath at her most recent run.
Next in the field, Lunar Corn, as they approach the turn from Dawson Diva. Don't Tell the Boss, Snickerdoodle Down. He's trying to get going. And at the end, Starrell, Anna Visto in front around the corner. And Allen hasn't flinched. 300 metres to go by length. Equimenical Aidens Field as they sprint up. Galgani up the middle, then Dawson Diva, good and proper. Anna Visto below the 200 metres, leading a length and a half to Equimenical and Aidens Field. Anna Visto, Equimenical's chiselling into the lead. Anna Visto about a half length. That Anna Visto does enough to score. Equimenical second, Aidensfield third from Starrell in a sprint of the line.
Collective sighs of relief from many. She saluted there. Dino, how did Johnny Allen orchestrate this?
Well, he had a great ally early, Galgani not wanting to push for the lead. So Anna Visto, who can roll around a bit, had the lead and the rail. So that certainly made John's job a lot easier. And then he just had to raid her through the sections, and he did that very evenly at just a nice, easy gallop, and then sprinted up, and she maintained a good gallop to the line. Ecumenical, terrific run. She's just a really good, honest horse. Aidensfield's where she's at the moment, and just couldn't have missed the run of Starrell. It was a terrific return. Fifth best last 400, fifth best last 200 of the meeting, running fourth at a big price. But we know she's a talent and she ran really well.
What could be an option for her down the track?
Oh, maybe a race like the Tessier. I don't think she's quite the absolute Empire Rose sort of standard, but a race like the Tessier or the Vase on the middle day of the carnival at Caulfield might be her race.
How do you see this race, Brendan?
Yeah, Dino's touched on it. Race changed really early when Anna Visto was able to cruise across and get to the lead. You thought if she was going to be brought undone, it'd be the fact that Galgani kicked up and got her really firing like she can do, Anna Visto, but she was able to relax. And when she got to that point in the race at about the 1,000 where there was very little pressure, you knew she was going to be hard to hold out. She gave a good kick. She held off Equimenical, who gave her a little bit of a fright, but you'd think she's going to be in for a pretty handy preparation. Aidensfield field, had the right drop in behind them, just held her ground. Star Aldean's touched on her, and then Don't Tell the Boss, Snickerdoodle Dandy, was slow out and closed off well along with Don't Tell the Boss. So a couple of nice closes with the tempo not really suiting them, but all honours to Anavisto. She got control of it, and she wouldn't let them past.
Something a little bit light-hearted from the stewards' report, Dean. If you take a look at the head-on vision, a couple of horses actually knuckle at the same time. Both Galgani knuckled on jumping away, as noted by the stewards' report, and there was another one, Snickerdoodle Dandy. Also, it's almost the Olympic sport of synchronised knuckling. If you watch the head-on vision of the start, they both go over and do exactly the same thing, and then bounce back into their rhythm.
Just watching it now, Warren. Yeah, it's you don't see that too often, do you, really? And it was, yes, yeah, no, and I think they got about 8 off the Russian judge, so it was a pretty good performance. but Snickerdoodle Dandy, I just wanted to mention her, actually. I think I just want to see her back at Flemington where she can really flow into a race. The start didn't help. Coming to the turn didn't help. She still ran home well. I just want to see her at Flemington.
Anavisto, where could she aim up at? She's chased a subsequent Group 2 winner at her first up run, Dean, and now she's won a Benchmark 90. What could they aim at for her?
Yeah, well, I heard that Mick Price said he might step her up to 1600 and you know, roll to the front and see where she fits in the better races. So I suppose he's thinking about maybe going towards a race like the Empire Rose. So that would be the plan with her. And, yeah, she's going well, whether she quite reaches those heights. But, you know, she is going along well, and she can make her own luck, which is always an advantage.
As Dean said, she got the right circumstances yesterday, particularly with Galgani knuckling and Johnny Allen finding the front, rolling along, controlling the race and getting Anavisto home. Spot in the Caulfield Cup was up for grabs in the Naturalism, the Melbourne Racing Club Foundation Cup. Geordie Childs was aboard Nonconformist.
And then came a Made Even Deeper. Further back in the field, Delphi approaching the turn, and then came Angel of Truth and well back Realm of Flowers. In the straight, no effort at the 300 metres led. Charlie Rose can't get a run at the moment. Mirage Dancer, Nonconformist presenting, and they were followed by Delphi. No effort at the 200. Nonconformist chasing. Charlie Rose back to the inside, and Delphi running on at the 100. Nonconformist leading, Delphi driving, Nonconformist a neck, Delphi, Nonconformist, hold on, Nonconformist beat Delphi, photo third, Charlie Rose or Mirage Dancer, followed by Port Guillaume.
Plenty of praise for Jordan Child's ride after this race, Brendan, how did you see it?
It was a race that he probably had to win, wasn't it, to really stamp himself. He'd been there around the back and had a lot of support throughout his career, and he did get the right ride from Jordan Child yesterday, 1,000 metres when Grand Promenade was whipping around 3 deep. It was a time where Jordan had to put Nonconformist in the spot for him to put his hand up and say he was good enough to win a race like this and cover ground the last 1,000, and he got him out, gave him clear air, and he responded well to the challenge. Delphi, from over on the rail, was really good second up, was good first up in the Heatherly, but has taken improvement off of that and is going to be an exciting prospect next time round. I thought Charlie Rose did a good job. She just got held up coming to the turn, and I'm not sure, maybe had she got that run through, whether or not she could have challenged with the momentum that she would have built up prior to that. So I thought a nice run from her. Mirage Dancer, I thought, toughed it out well. It wasn't an overly taxing speed, but it was a good performance from him. Grand Promenade covered ground. Port Guillaume, that's the best run we've seen of his two runs here. You just about had a line through him from the spring from his run in the Fiam, but that was really encouraging to see him attack the line there yesterday. Mosh Music was good. I didn't think Knight's Order did too bad a job. He's much more effective over further. He got a little bit of a prat late that probably he's been beaten 4 lengths. He probably might have only been beaten 3 had he not got that little squeeze halfway down the straight when no effort was getting tired. Chapada okay of those back in the field, but Nonconformist, it was probably his race, and Jordan Childs really owned it, and he was in for the fight late.
Beau Mertens, the other jockey in conjunction with Craig Williams, suspended from this meeting, Dean. He caused some interference at the 250-metre mark aboard, no effort, resulting in interference to both Mirage Dancer and Knight's Order. So the other suspension, Beau Mertens, he's starting that next Sunday, and then he'll take his 9-meeting suspension from then. How did you see the Naturalism, Dean?
Yeah, well, it was run at a much more solid gallop than the Heatherly, so as we thought a few weeks ago, a few of those were, you know, building to something like this, and such a good ticket on the line, but none more so than Nonconformist. I think he was the one in the race that, you know, you thought if he won that, you know, some sort of chance in the Caulfield Cup, and he got the right run. There was a, you know, pivotal moment, as Brendan mentioned, you know, mid-race, where he just protected his territory and was able to win. I thought Delphi's going really well. Charlie Rose is going well. I think Grand Promenade will win the Bart Cummings and win his way into the Melbourne Cup in a couple of weeks' time. I thought that was an outstanding run for a stayer. He had a you know, he was drew wide, got in for a little bit, but then pushed wide and just maintained a strong gallop all the way to the line. And Porky Hume's improvement was impressive. And Amar did enough. I think he'll be better at Flemington as well. So he'll probably go to the Bart Cummings and be very competitive as well. But out of the race, I want to be on Grand Promenade next start.
Going to be a terrific race, the Bart Cummings. So I think you mentioned Snickerdoodle Dandy better suited getting to Flemington. I think the same for Charlie Rose. Dean, how do you see that?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, she's right in the mix in that sort of race as well. And she's got the good tactical speed, which helps around Caulfield. And, but the you know, what we saw of her at the Bagot at Flemington, obviously that's a very happy hunting ground for her as well.
51.5 in the Caulfield Cup. How does Nonconformist line up there?
He lines up where he'd give himself a chance and put himself into the race, and then it's that last, it's that next kick on, that last 400 metres that he's got to find again. But he's in the race now, and he's got the right sort of racing style that he can put himself in a good spot.
How do you assess him as a Caulfield Cup aspirant, Brendan?
Well, you know he's going to be there into the turn. It's the if it's a high pressure 2400 meter race, how does he adapt to that, and can he kick when you when he balances that with that last 350 left to go? I think that's just going to be the question for mine. You know he'll get the first part of the race right, but after they've done a lap and you need to really dig deep for that next kick, does he have it in the locker? He's going to have the weight to help him do that, but it's going to be interesting to see how far he gets into the race. You would think he could be, without knowing, you know, the internationals confirmed or who's going to line up in the race, you'd think he'd be a genuine top eight sort of contender in the race, that's for sure.
These ballot-free races, Dino, they really create a lot of interest, don't they? The tickets into the Caulfield Cup on offer here, and already you're looking at horses out of this race heading to the Bart Cummings, and it really does make for competitive racing and adds a real edge to those races.
Yeah, and it's a fine line too, Warren. You don't want to actually peak to get into the Caulfield Cup on, you know, 4 weeks out, but you want to get, you know, get your place in the field. So I think Nonconformist has got a good base under him with two runs. I think that, as Graham Begg explained it to you, now he's got 3 weeks to the Caulfield Stakes and then on the back up into the Caulfield Cup. So it sets up quite well for him. But, yeah, it's the fine line between qualifying and still having enough in the tank to really perform on the day.
Graham Begg can plan that now, knowing that he can run in the Caulfield Stakes at Wait for Age and then back up into the Caulfield Cup. That's the plan for Nonconformist. Sierra Sue took out the Group 1. We got to the last. Bella Nipotina was held up at her most recent run. It was almost a case of deja vu for Craig Williams yesterday.
A run for Night Raid if she's good enough. Geist behind those horses. Then Bell CL. Bella Nipotina's hit a brick wall. Needs a run. Enchantingly at the 200. Joined by Chassis La Mexicana again. Then Geist. Bella Nipotina's getting out. Chassis at the 100. La Mexicana. Bella Nipotina gets out and explodes. Bella Nipotina over the top has got up to win. From a head bobber, Chassis or La Mexicana. Geist not beaten far. Then Bonza Broad.
Just a very descriptive and accurate call there from Maddie Hill. She did explode the last little bit, Dean.
She certainly did, Warren, and what a transformation she's been. She's been an honest, good competitor all her life at 1,100 metres, and really that last bit of a 1,200 was a challenge. But we've seen her now on three occasions for the Mar Eustace stable, and all she wants to do is really savage the line, and she'd have been the best of good things beaten, but it turned into a win late. So no, great effort by Bella Nipotina, and yeah, she's in absolutely great shape. Best last 200 of the meeting.
And an emotional win for Craig Williams, losing a close friend Vic during the week and paying tribute to Vic and Chrissy, his wife, after the race. And he's doesn't miss anything, Craig Williams, does he, in terms of honouring people, thanking people? Sometimes it cops a little bit of stick for doing it, but racing's far better for having people of the quality of Craig Williams involved, Dean.
Absolutely. It just shows how much he cares, simple as that. And the fact that, he's in the absolute moment of riding and doing his best, but he's not forgetting the people that have been around him and made him the person he is today. And obviously that, he was very emotional after that win.
And as epitomised by that, the events in Adelaide trackside when the gentleman, Brendan, had come out of his hospital bed to see the races, and Craig Williams bothered to find out what it was. So does a lot extra, does a lot on the track, but he does a lot off the track. How did you see his win yesterday on Bella Nipotina?
Good ride, patient ride. She's just a different beast now, isn't she, Bella Nipotina? She was on speed, run and see if she can hold on, and now she's just got such a determination to win and really get out after the line and want to be at the top of the pack. She's completely changed herself around since joining the new stable, and was almost another hard luck story yesterday, but she was explosive once she got out at the 150. Chassis is flying at the moment. Took probably on a runner down last time. She won that race at Flemington going back four runs ago now. She's just there and she's brave and she keeps on giving. Good effort from La Mexicana. She covered a fair bit of ground. Probably wasn't at a disadvantage to do that back end of the card yesterday. Maybe the little bit of rain throughout the program helped her a little bit, but she does race well around Caulfield. She did a good job. I thought Geist had her chance. She was ridden a bit closer than maybe you would have expected, but Ollie give her every chance. Enchantingly was okay after riding the speed. Bonza Broad didn't have a lot of room to play in late, and Smoke and Val closed it off well, but Bella Nipotina, she's really flying, so Chassis, and they're capitalising on their form.
Brendan saying Smoke and Val closed it off well, Dean. She jumped awkwardly in the stewards report and disappointed for a run around the 300 metre mark. In terms of her late closing sectionals, how did she hit the line?
Smoke and Val Warren, she was home really solidly for, where are we? She was about the 11th best last 200 of the race. So, yeah, build her momentum late. And Shake was the one that really caught my eye late. She went for a run between horses that were weakening on straightening and had to switch across heels. And she went from the 15th best last 400 of the meeting to the 4th best last 200. So I thought that was quite a good run from Shake. But this was a very slowly run race. Whether it was late in the day and getting off the rail and they all just bunched up, they went way below standard early. And it was basically about a 500 metre sprint. So, a lot of these came home in very sharp sectionals, but none more so than the winner.
Bella Nipotina dashing through, exploding, as Matty Hill said it, near the line to take out the last Craig Williams. For the Mara and Eustace team, terrific day's racing at Caulfield. It was a Group 1 race day, also at Randwick. We'll turn our attention to that meeting after this break.
Correct Weight, brought to you by Tabs The Lock. Activate to get Tabs' best starting price guaranteed. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858.
Want to own a share in a thoroughbred? Ken King Thoroughbred is Victoria's premier syndicator, with proven spring racing success, including last year's Oaks winner. Share the thrill of thoroughbred ownership. Ride with the King.
By popular demand, Dino, Ken King. What a great jingle that was.
Oh, absolutely. And well deserved for Ken on his annual day, going to the races and picking up a trophy.
Big day at the races also in Sydney yesterday. The Group 1, George Main, lived up to Group 1 quality.
Rider now coming to the turn as Very Elegant comes off the fence, and Riordini slips further in front in the George Main as they swing. Rachel King hasn't gone for him as yet, but Riordini slipped five lengths clear. Think It Over gets going the outside. Very Elegant the inside. She's still six off the lead. Riordini's trying to pinch it. Think It Over is trying to repeat his Chomford Stakes success. He's giving chase. Riordini two in front of Think It Over. Very Elegant, she's starting to motor now. Riordini being tackled by Very Elegant, and the great mare wins a ninth Group 1, home best in the George Main. Very Elegant beat Riordini and Think It Over. Then
top of the show, Brendan outlined, Dean, that having Riordini in the race was a real positive, making it solidly run. What were your thoughts on the George Main?
Yeah, it's the tactics of the Waterhouse horses, the Waterhouse Bolt horses, are interesting. Obviously, they go forward, but it's that mid-race pressure from the 800 to the 400, and he really elevated there, and that's where they get that separation and set up that, you know, they've got to try and get home from there. But that's their tactic, and it works so very well. And what Very Elegant had to do yesterday was outstanding at the end of 1,600 metres and just gritted out. And ninth best last 200 of the meeting at the end of that sort of race was just a terrific performance. That's her ninth Group 1 win, and I'm going to use Bruce McAvaney's quotes yesterday, or stats from Channel 7. That's her ninth Group 1 win. And they've all been in different Group 1 races. Winx won 25, but only in 11 different races. So she's got a great variety of distances and tracks, Very Elegant, with her spread of Group 1 wins.
Thought it was terrific tactically too, just watching Nashua Willow. You can see him almost wanting to get up alongside Riadini and shut the door on Very Elegant late, Dean.
Yeah, and he's a terrific horse, Think It's Over. But it also showed that last 200 metres that, you know, he's a really top horse. She is, you know, in the champion category now, surely. She's right in the conversation, and her desire is her greatest asset, and that's what she just had late in the race.
How do you see the Group 1, Brendan?
Top of the straight, if you're watching Very Elegant, you thought, gee, she's going to have her work cut out. Almost impossible at the 200, but then once she got to the 100 and had her full head of steam up, you thought she's going to be right now. She had to draw on all her champion qualities there yesterday to get herself through that hard up against the inside in a little bit of restricted room. We know she's much better when she's out and sweeping, so maybe another little string to her bow there with her going up the inside of them to have to win that race. Riadini, brave run, brave ride to really go out at those splits in a feature race, and it took a champion to run her down. Think It's Over, he's done a really good job. He was good winning last time, but you can't detract anything away from him the way he went in there yesterday. He's only failed, and it's been a really outstanding performance from first and second to beat him there yesterday. Hungry Heart, I thought she was okay to the line, and Cascadian was not too bad late, but all honours to Very Elegant yesterday. She just she shone there yesterday at Randwick.
A couple of things I want to ask you, Dean and Brendan, looking to the future. Very Elegant lining up with Zaki when they clash. Where do you sit at this stage? Start with you, Dean.
Yeah, she's a much more rounded racehorse than the horse that went to the Cox Plate 2 years ago, but she was very ragged that day around the valley, and that's still my little niggle, but she, as I said, she seems a lot more complete now. Zaki, to me, his form in Europe would say he's better left-handed, so we get to see that next Saturday in the Underwood Stakes. Can't wait for that. But at this stage, I've got a slight leaning to Zaki, but it's only a flip of the coin.
Brendan?
One thing that I think might help her is if there's no crowds at Moonee Valley on Cox Plate Day, you'd think she could fall apart in front of a massive crowd. They're what we've had before with the height when the horses come onto the track. That would be almost, you know, could melt her really in the pre-race to a Cox Plate. So with a nice quiet Moonee Valley, you'd think that's going to be in her favour. And we know when it gets down and dirty what Very Elegant can do when they've really got to roll their sleeves up. Zaki, he showed us the outstanding sectionals and the explosion, but we're yet to really see him get into a dogfight here, so it'd be something you wouldn't mind seeing them pairing off from about the 400, both coming with their runs together, or make for an entertaining battle.
Historically, this race, Brendan's a good guide heading towards an Epsom with a horse dropping significantly in weight. Riadini fits that category. How do you assess him as an Epsom prospect after yesterday?
You put the eggs in the basket and say, catch me if you can, and if they're good enough to go with him, good on them, but it took a very, very good mare to run him down yesterday.
What about you, Dave?
Yeah, look, he's right in the chances for an Epsom. He's going so well, and back to a handicap. He certainly makes his own luck, and you know the Waterhouse Spot horses at a mile at Randwick are always to the fore.
Almost a dress rehearsal for the upcoming Everest in just under a month yesterday with the shorts. Eduardo, Nature Strip, Jitra, Rothfire, Mask Crusader, all going at it in the shorts.
Now they're locking horns around the turn. Nature Strip on the inside of Eduardo. Stride for stride, Nature Strip, the inside of Eduardo. Three lengths away to Gitra running on. Rothfire starting to close in. Mask Crusader still back last. Nature Strip trying to palm off Eduardo. It's Nature Strip a neck on Eduardo. Rothfire's battling. Gitra is looking to come through the middle. Nature Strip's kicking from Eduardo. Nature Strip just in front. Eduardo's lifting the outside. Eduardo lays it down to Nature Strip, and Eduardo won it. Eduardo in a gripping finish to the shorts. Ran down Nature Strip. Gitra third, Rothfire fourth.
Another terrific race. What a great 40 minutes or so it would have been at Randwick. Worth noting, Brendan, we're on a soft seven by this stage of the day, so maybe impacting the chances of a couple. How did you see the shorts?
Yeah, it's what we've seen them do before, Eduardo and Nature Strip, and Nature Strip just got revving through those middle stages where when we seen him first up, he was nice and relaxed and found his rhythm, and Eduardo just had him racing that little bit too much and was able to out-tough him at the end. Not for the first time he's been able to get the upper hand on him. Just would have liked to have seen a little bit more room for Gitra there heading towards an Everest if maybe he could have come to the outside or around them. Who knows? knows, but you would think he's not going to be too far out of calculations if he can sit close as he did there yesterday. Looking towards the Everest, though, horses like Mass Crusader and Lost and Running, if they're running those sort of speeds, it's hard to see them going to, you know, we've got to throw the extra trip on, but, you know, they're going to have to break the clock to run these front two down in the Everest, you would think. So maybe Classic Legend from a midfield spot, but wouldn't mind seeing another battle like yesterday.
He was a man with a plan at Randwick yesterday. It was Nashville. Do you know how did the plan work out in this race?
Yeah, it was a brutal contest, Warren. I know that the track had slowed up through the day, but they were home in the 72nd best last 200, beat the 86th best last 200. They were prize fighters at the end of it, and Eduardo got Nature Strip late. I agree. I think Gitra, had he come to the outside, goes awfully close. His run was terrific first up. Rothfire off a long break did enough. And Masked Crusader, I don't know if you saw him in the pre-race, Warren, he still hasn't trimmed down a lot, and he's still very wintry in the coat. So there is improvement to come from him, and he probably needs it. But he still did find the line late, so I'm not giving up on Masked Crusader. And probably Lesbridge is very happy he wasn't there. He's just sitting back. He's Classic Legends trialled well, and he knows he's in the field, and he probably has the one key lead-up in a couple of weeks' time.
Be a bit of refueling, you would think, from the horses, as you said, Dina. A brutal contest yesterday, so they'll need to sort of rest up to be able to produce another peak performance, or perhaps a peak performance on Everest Day.
Yeah, something like that. It's they will need the 4 weeks to really put it together. And I think Nature Strip's going the best he's gone going into an Everest, and he's been beaten in a couple, but this is probably the best he's going. So he's going more like his spring form than he's ever gone, his autumn form than he's ever gone before in the spring.
Perhaps some horses on a path towards the Metropolitan went around in the Kingston Town Stakes over 2,000 metres. She's Ideal. It's down on 53.5.
Further back to Shared Ambition from Zayrek as they come up to the turn, and Entente shows the way. Fun Fact under a punishing ride, and She's Ideal is about to slip through the centre with Spirit Ridge the outside, and Shared Ambition sticks on. Entente just shows the way, getting a tap on the shoulder now from She's Ideal, and She's Ideal moved up to take the lead away from Entente. Then came Zayrek, and down the outside is Montefiore, but She's Ideal is off and gone in the Kingston Town Stakes. She's Ideal won it by 2 lengths to Montefiore. Entente third, Zayrek fourth.
Well, she was the eye-catcher first up in the week stakes, Dino, so I suppose no surprise to see her winning over 2,000 metres down in the weights.
No, and that body of work through the BMW last year at Wait for Age or earlier in the year. So she's got a really good profile for that sort of race and to win yesterday. But, I think Montefiore is a star. I hope... I just hope they get the program right with her and don't get too creative, because if she goes to, say, the Hill Stakes in 2 weeks and then into the Caulfield Cup, she could win a Caulfield Cup. Her run was outstanding yesterday. We were just talking about the track deteriorating for the sprinters. Well, at the end of 2,000 metres, she ran home the fifth best last 200 of the meeting. So tremendous run in defeat. She's Ideal is going great towards a race like the Metrop, and that's where she should go. I think Zayrek's ticking over okay as well. Lightly raced import for the Team Hawks. I think he's ticking over quite well. And Attorney wasn't a bad closing effort as well. But, She's Ideal won, but the horse I'd love to take out of this race is Montefiore.
Who'd you like to take out of this race, Brendan?
Yeah, well, with Dean Montefiore, we might have to share her last 150 was super. She worked into the race and then just really closed it off like she's ready for further now. She's Ideal. Just got a perfect run in behind the speed. She probably had to win from where she was. Zayrek followed her through near the inside. As Dean touched on, Attorney, he went out at a big price there yesterday, but he was doing some serious work late in between horses in restricted room.
Three-year-old fillies went around in the T Rose Stakes. Arguably four moves ahead was the best of that crop. As a two-year-old, Nashville is aboard with John Sargent. We're on a soft six by this stage.
Coming to the turn is Rock Lily in front by a half to Swift Witness. Then Mallory on the inside, a four moves ahead, Never Been Kissed. Further back to Chill Naz, Marty the Fence, Latino Blend pulling out. Then came Mokalua. It's Rock Lily tackled now by Swift Witness, and Swift Witness takes the lead from four moves ahead. Mallory the inside. They're clear then from Chill and Latino Blend. Swift Witness still the leader from four moves ahead, is surging now on the outside. Four moves ahead, lays it down to Swift Witness, then Mallory. Four moves ahead goes home best, and four moves ahead won the Darley T Rose from Swift Witness and Mallory third, followed by
doubt John Sargent was disappointed, Brendan, to see the rain clouds blowing in through the day.
Yep, she was good there, four moves ahead, had the right run. Little bit of a hairy moment when Swift Witness tore around her outside to get up outside the speed. She just had to check, but then she relaxed nicely. She had the right running behind, produced perfectly there by Nashawilla, and she was strong at the end. Mallory, she was there with her chance, went back up on the inside. Swift Witness was good, gave a kick and just couldn't quite hold on late. The one that really caught my eye away from the place getters was On Trap, well back in the race, and she really charged through the line. She's a 60 rater heading into yesterday, and the way she got through the line, there's going to be something for her. You would think she's going to be competitive if she can step out over further.
Take on the fillies here, Dean.
Yeah, I think you hit on the head, Warren, with four moves ahead. She's superior on soft ground, there's no doubt about that, and she got the ground to suit yesterday, and she won. The filly that Brendan just mentioned, Von Trapp, being a daughter of Frankel, you think will be better over further. And I'm having a little spec bet for the Oaks on a filly called Mokalua for Clary Connors, Reduce Choice filly out of Dear Demi. So it's got that sort of Oaks pedigree and just building, not classy enough at these shorter trips, but going along okay. Ran second to Profondo, who's got such a high rating on him, and then ran yesterday. I think she'll run in the flight, and then we'll probably see her down here for a race like the Ethereal, and that's when I think she'll come into calculations. But I like the way she's going, Mokalua.
Nowhere near as high profile, Clary Connors, as he used to be. Scaled back a lot, but the days of research and others, he used to be a real raider with horses during the Spring Carnival and taking out an Oaks back in that day, Dean.
Yes, well, I still think he's got at least one more in him, Clary, and maybe it's this year with Mokalua.
Lead up to the Epsom, the Bill Ritchie was the other stakes race at Sydney yesterday. A tissue over from New Zealand looking for another Aussie win for Chris Waller.
Straighten up, and Prime Star slipped two lengths in front at the 300 metres from a tissue. Roused along, looks like Elvis between them, at a length further back to Private Eye. It's Prime Star in front narrowly from a tissue, is inch by inch getting there. Then looks like Elvis, Private Eye, Aramea late on the scene, a tissue, and looks like Elvis, a tissue with a nose in front, and a tissue beat looks like Elvis. Aramea ran third. Anybody's guess?
Look like a few hard luck stories here, Dean. Less than two lengths with the first seven across the line. Your take on the Bill Ritchie?
Yeah, it was that sort of race, Warren, wasn't it? As you said, they were a bunch finish, but I do like the way a tissue's going. Probably the bunch finish was because of the very pedestrian tempo early, and then they built, and I thought a tissue did a good job to win. Looks like Elvis ran well. Aramayo, who had that Chelmsford form, ran well. Private Eye's looking for the mile. He ran quite well. But I think a tissue won her way into the Epsom yesterday, and there's another one that's going to be right down in the weights, as we spoke about with the runners from the George Main. I think she's a legitimate chance.
Thoughts here, Brendan?
Tissue Good put into the race yesterday. Private Eye was okay, covered a bit of ground. Looks like Elvis was there with his chance. I thought he ran well. Bunch finish. Thought the winner was good, though, a tissue. She adapted to be right up there on speed. Warren, just if we can get some information on English Gambler today, more than the runaway tactics, Dean, are we going for the same tactics of trying to take the rivals out at the first hurdle and really throw his rate around jumping the first?
Yeah, well, he's on at about 11:17, I think, today. So, quietly confident. It's a lot better race. And our man that rode him, unfortunately, he had to go back to England. So we've got Sean Fannin, who's the leading rider over there. So hopefully, drawn seven, Brendan, we should be able to take out four or five at the first and go from there.
Race three, number seven, English Gambler at Tiaroa, currently $3.40 fixed odds. They haven't flown in a jockey for the UK for this one. They've gone with the locals. Good luck there, Dino. There was also Group 1 racing in New Zealand yesterday. Call sign Mav taking out the Tarzino Trophy. Talk of a Cox Plate tilt there, and Free of Debt took out the Wiley Stakes at stakes level in Adelaide for Chris B. Time to wrap the day up with Runs of the Day and horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the Run of the Day and the horses to follow.
We'll start with you, Dino.
Yeah, I can't go past Very Elegant as the run of the day in either state. That was a magnificent effort to win, and Grand Promenade and into the Bart Cummings for me. That's the race I want to follow him in, and he's the horse to follow.
Outside of English Gambler, what are we looking at today?
We're going to Ballarat in race six. I think the Freedman trained runner may be the best. Looks really well placed first up. She had a couple of trials. Looks to be going well. Ready to go. Race six, number seven, may be the best.
Terrific work as always, Dino. Look forward to hearing you on the airwaves right throughout the week on RSN 927.
Thanks so much, Warren.
Brendan Delaney about to take over with Sunday Central. A busy time, no doubt. What are we looking forward to?
We're going to preview the Gold Nugget program at Ballarat with Harry White. We're also going to get Calvin McAvoy on for his thoughts with the stable's chances today. Ben Ascari from racing.com. We'll have a look at the Brownlow with John Ralph before we get stuck into the Sunshine Coast now at Armidale. And the Mindery Halidon program, Luke Humphreys will take us through the trots at Oyen and George Ferrugia with his look at Sandown Park. So a big couple of hours coming up before we hand over to Riley Phelan for race day just before 12 o'clock.
How do you wrap up yesterday?
Run of the day, going with Very Elegant. She really had to dig deep and pull on all her qualities there yesterday to win. Horse to follow, Ocean Beyond. He's capable of winning a weaker race, and he struck there yesterday, probably capable of being competitive in the same grade, but he's eligible for something easier, and I think he'll be winning sometime soon.
Good luck with Sunday Central the next couple of hours, Brendan. Looking forward to taking it all in, finding some winners and getting all of the updates in the next couple of hours. On with Very Elegant. It's the run of the day. She was outstanding. And I'm making Elusive Express my horse to follow, filly from the Anthony and Sam Friedman stable. She'll step up beyond 1,600, 1,400 metres and be hard to beat in the weeks ahead. Takes us out for Correct Weight. Stay tuned for Brendan Delaney with Sunday Central.